My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Mr. Oster is in the house. We're getting ready for another edition of Davey Trees Talking Trees. But let me just start off by saying, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you win that gift certificate from Sorgles. There's a lot to get to in the world of gardening, so get on the phone with those gardening questions, too, at 866-391-1020. Mr. Oster, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am spectacular. Looking forward to today's broadcast and welcoming a new member of the Davey Tree Company.
Yes, Craig Stone. This is his first show, so it's always scary to do your first show, but it'll be fine. And thank goodness for the rain. I hope you didn't have a bad storm and something bad happened. But, as a gardener, this rain has just been wonderful. It makes life a lot easier. And I was out in the garden. That's where I walk one of the dogs. And this little dog, they call it a rat dog. It kind of looks like a Basenji, and it's a mutt. And every time it sees a chipmunk, it just gets obsessed. It thinks the chipmunk's still there, you know, when a chipmunk just runs out of the garden. So I thought the dog was after a chipmunk again. I'm like, oh, come on, let's go. And flushed out that little rabbit. I guess that little rabbit was still in the garden, but hadn't touched the beans or anything yet, unless it just came, I don't know. Anyway, the dog just went nuts chasing that rabbit, and finally they both ran out of the garden, and then, of course, the dog was gone. You know, tried to find the rabbit, and then started running through the woods chasing the deer, and I swear I saw that dog playing with a little fawn up on the hill. Then I took dog number two out, on the leash to, okay, maybe this will bring dog number one back. And when dog number two saw dog number one, just pulled the leash right out of my hand. And then they ran around for the next half hour in the woods, the one dog with the leash still on, and then they came back. So I didn't even know there was a rabbit in there, so I'm hoping there's no more rabbits in there, and I hope I can keep the rabbits. That was really a small rabbit, which they can squeeze between the chicken wire. Guess I need finer chicken wire. So, yeah, with all this rain, I'll tell you one thing. My cucumbers are looking good. I hope yours are, too. I'm getting pollination, so that's a good thing. But, boy, I've had a tough year for my garlic. It just didn't do well, and I've heard from a couple other people, too, that have trouble. I'm going to have to be making a trip to Janoski's to get garlic for this year. Almost a crop failure. I might have 10 heads, so not good. But, you know, there's still time to plant. And I was out plant shopping yesterday, and I went to Han Nursery. And I've just been I just didn't get my Mexican sunflowers started from seed. I think I planted them, but they didn't sprout or something. And I was just so shocked when I walked into Han that they had a Mexican sunflower, a smaller one called Goldfinger, already there. They just came in, so they've probably got 10, 15 plants in there. And you know how much I love Mexican sunflower. Great pollinator plant. Doesn't need anything from the gardener. Beautiful orange 3-inch flowers. This one only gets 3 to 4 feet tall. And this pot had two plants in it, so I split them up and put them in. That is just a wonderful, wonderful half-hardy annual. And then where I pulled my garlic out of the containers, I'm planting peppers in there, and boy, they had lots of good peppers, and nurseries still do. Another nursery I was at had half-price vegetables. Everything's going on sale. I got cheap hanging baskets yesterday and made my own hanging baskets. They had like a 1 gallon pot with a mix of plants in it, inexpensive, and I had extra hanging baskets, so I just stuck those into my own hanging basket and got a deal instead of paying whatever a hanging basket would be, $20 or something. I was able to make this hanging basket, and I got some really, like I said, cheap hanging baskets, put them up all through the garden. Looks good. You know what? Nice thing about hanging baskets, they're out of the reach of the deer. And so that works out pretty well. And I have a tour of the Summer Flower Show on my website. It's called Under the Sea, and that video is getting a lot of hits. It's really cool, a really cool show. You should go to Phipps and see it. But if you can't get to Phipps, I spent a couple hours there touring and making a video, and that's at DougOster.com. And then I did a garden consult for a friend, and oh man, I am telling you, the dirt was just where she wanted to plant was just awful, unbelievable, and under a big oak tree. And I was just like, you know what I tell people to plant under an oak tree, a bench, you know. So she was looking for suggestions, and you know, I just said, you're going to need 3 yards of compost to start off with. Then she had another big bed and had a chameleon plant in it, which is this invasive that you can't get rid of. I said, you're going to have to just cut everything down in this bed with a weed whacker and keep weed whacking it for quite a while until you hopefully kill that chameleon plant. And, you know, we're looking at different ideas for these spots, and something native, something perennial, but something short. And so I was looking at all sorts of different ideas, and it has to be deer resistant. That was the first thing that she wanted, the whole bed to be hostas, and they have deer really bad. I'm like, you're never going to be able to do hostas unless you spray them every day. That's the favorite food of deer. And so the garden's going good. I'm helping out the beds with some extra mulch now, replacing anything when I'm planting something or harvesting something like garlic. I'm putting something right in after it. You know, most of the early spring lettuce is done now. When it gets hot, it bolts, so it's time to plant some other stuff. But as I said, there's just nothing like having a little bit of rain for the garden, because it makes everything so much happier, and it makes our life so much easier. You can water all you want, and I spend a lot of time watering, but it's just not the same as a good rain. It's just wonderful. So I do have 2 seats left for my trip to the national parks in August. We're just about done selling that. You know, we're going to go all over the place. Scottsdale, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon. My wife's been to all these places. I've never been to any of these places. She said she liked Bryce Canyon better than Grand Canyon. Jackson Hole, Yellowstone, Crazy Horse Memorial, Mount Rushmore, all over. It's all at DougOster.com. And if you're thinking about starting a compost pile, this would be a good time to do it. You know, all we're doing for compost is we're taking stuff out of the kitchen and the garden, and we're putting it someplace. And it is just a really great way to recycle, because 50% of what you used to send to the curb is now on site and you get the direct benefit. You get the direct benefit of this black gold, as we call it, and there's nothing like it. And so the only thing from the kitchen we're not taking out there is meats, dairy, and oils, because that can attract rodents. That stuff's going to get in there when you're saving food, but I never have anything trying to dig around in there. And mine's out in the woods. And so I've got a 3-bin system. So the first bin I'm filling up with every day I'm taking something out from the kitchen and or something from the garden. You know, if it's, at the end of the season, you're cutting down your ornamental grasses, or early in the season, you're cutting down your ornamental grasses. Anything that once was living will become compost. And compost is the key to all gardens. And, you know, when I did that garden consult, I was just saying, if you don't have compost, buy some. You can get it by the bag. You can get it by the truckload. That just makes all the difference in the world in your garden. And so when you're making your own compost, and it takes a year, you got those 3-bin system. The first bin, you're filling up with all this stuff and you're just letting it sit there. Then you start filling up bin number 2. Usually by the time you fill up bin number 2, bin number 1's ready. If not, we just go to start filling up with bin number 3. You can get compost quicker with a rotating bin. And I've got a couple rotating bins that I use to make compost. You just keep filling those up while you're turning them, and you get to about almost completely full. Now no more new material, and you keep turning it every day. And in anywhere from 45 to 90 days, you'll get your compost. The only trick with the rotating bin is that you're providing the moisture. And so if you put too much in, it smells like an overripe melon. That's called anaerobic composting. And then we just put a little bit of straw or dried shredded leaves in there to soak up some of that extra moisture. And then as you keep it mowing, you keep it turning, you'll get compost quicker. And so that's a great way to recycle and get something great for your garden.
All right, we're going to take some calls for Doug. We'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster. DougOster.com. KDKA. All right, if you want to get those gardening questions in, now's the time to do it. 866-391-1020. And John, you're up first on KDK. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, Doug, I purchased 4 azaleas. They were called Hershey Red, double blossom, beautiful plants. Mid-April, planted them, had 4 of them, all within 30 feet of one another. 3 of them doing just marvelous. The 4th was until this past week. All of a sudden, the leaves started to shrivel. I find no insects. I have no idea what's going on. Any clues?
I guess I would be looking at the soil. Is the soil the same where that one is, where the other ones are?
Yeah. The only thing is I planted it in an area where I had some cannas last year, and I just dug up the soil, and there may have been some canna bulbs left in there.
That shouldn't make any difference at all.
No.
What does it look like now?
Shriveled. Looks like it looks like it's dying.
What did it happen after the rain, or did it happen during the heat? When did you first notice
it? Well, I have to tell you, all through this whole period, watered every day all the plants. They all did very, very well. Nothing's changed. I can't figure out what's going on.
I would dig down a little bit in that soil and see what the moisture level is. You know,
okay.
The only thing I'm thinking is too much water. That's all I can think of. Again, if you're not seeing insects, I'm just thinking something with the soil. You know, maybe the soil for the other 3 is a little different. By the time you got down there to wherever this 4th one is, it might be holding more water. That's all I can think of. The only thing you can do at this point, really, is add a little bit of fertilizer and hope for the best. And
yeah, I've done that. Yeah. Bayer makes a product that I use systemically to kill insects, like in my birch and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Give that a shot, you think?
I don't think you're having an insect problem. I think you're having a cultural problem.
Okay.
You know, the insects that attack an azalea are you can see them, and they actually, most of them are not that bad. You know, it's usually some type of scale or you can see it on the plant. This to me sounds like something cultural, something in the soil, something's going on there. And my guess is just, you know, when you see something shrivel like that, it's usually either not enough water or too much water. And in this case, watering every day, and that I'm thinking that soil is holding a little bit too much moisture, and I think that's what the problem is. If it really looks bad, the plant really looks bad, I would lift it. I would lift it and maybe move it to somewhere else in cloudy conditions and rainy conditions like this. And I would just want to see what's going on in those roots. You know, sometimes it's like an ant's nest or something in the roots, which I think we need to see what's going on down in that soil. That's the thing. I don't think you have any kind of disease or insect problem that I know of in azalea. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds more like what's going on in the soil. So I would take a look there.
Underground. Yep. I have to dig it up. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck. That's sad, but good luck.
All right, let's take one more call before the break at the bottom of the hour. Here's Rich in Crafton. Hey, Rich, you're on KDKA.
Hey, Rich.
Hi, Doug. I got two questions. One, I haven't seen any locusts anywhere, and you go all over these places to eat and everything. My buddy and I were talking, and we're wondering, before I ask Frank, where do I get processed rabbit to eat? I haven't had a good rabbit in ages, and I just wondered if you knew before I asked Frank.
I do know. It's a place called Max's Allegheny Tavern. No,
I meant to buy the rabbit, like, all cut up that you can make it yourself. I go to Max's all the time. I love it.
Oh, in that case, good. I have no idea where to get
Max's is really good. I do have to agree with you.
That was the first place I ever had rabbit. I grew up with those Warner Brothers cartoons, and they always said Hassenpfeffer. You know,
yeah, he said his mom lived. They lived down in Greene County, and they'd have rabbit, pheasant, and he even ate groundhog. He said, "I said I never had groundhog, but I had."
I don't want to even think of a groundhog.
Me neither.
So the locust, it's a little early for them, but they'll come out here in another, you know, July, August, we'll start to hear the locust. An interesting thing is that they had a double emergence in part of the country where two different broods for the first time since 1803 of locusts emerged, and like St. Louis area is one of the areas that got hit hard. And usually when we have one of those emergence of a lot of locusts, a brood, you know, like every 15 years or 17, whatever it might be, we don't see much damage on the trees. But with this double emergence, they saw lots of damage to trees, and they're going to have to replace trees. And yeah, call back and talk to Frank and see if he knows where you can
Do you think these storms is wiped out the lantern flies since we had these bad thunderstorms and that? I haven't seen any lantern
flies. Well, that's an interesting point, because we talked last week about spotted lantern fly, and it seems is this year that they're just in pockets. Some people still have them really bad. Now, I had them really bad last year, but I've only seen one nymph this year, and they haven't attacked my tree of heaven. And so it's kind of spotty off and on.
Yeah, Mercy had them real bad last year, but I've only seen two or three of them. I haven't seen that many. And
same here. Same here.
I thought all the rain may have washed them down into the river.
I don't think it's the rain. I just think it's nature's setting up a balance. I think by next season we'll be pretty much done with the spotted lanternfly. We'll have a little bit of problems, but as I said, people still have some infestations in some parts of the city. All right,
have a great day.
Thanks very much for your call.
All right, let's get to that break, the bottom of the hour, then we'll come back, and Doug's going to do some Davy Tree talking trees, but you're always welcome to be a part of the program. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Next hour, picnics, getting ready for the 4th of July. Mr. Frank Dentici and I hosting another edition of the Coons Cooking Hour. Dr. Bridget Schufo at 9, Accurate Solutions at 10, and then everything from our Pirates, Olympic trials, and the Steelers, and Neil Shipley, the young man from Pittsburgh, 6 shots off the lead in his pro golfing debut, the Central Catholic grad at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, all today with your Pratt Pack on Katie.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey,
it's his first show. Craig Stone joins us today, and we're talking all about insects and diseases. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? You nervous?
No, not at all.
Oh, awesome.
You can be nervous talking with trees.
All right. That sounds good. Well, where do you want to start, insects or diseases?
Wherever.
All right. So what are you seeing insect-wise? First off, have you seen a lot of spotted lanternfly?
Oh, yeah. The nymphs are, you know, in full force, moving their way around. A lot of people, I think, now, just with the recent... over the last couple of years, seeing all of them have really started to call in and kind of, you know, start to identify them. So, yeah, they're definitely around.
Because what we're seeing and what I'm hearing is that they're just in pockets this year. They're not as there's not as many this year as last year. But are you seeing the opposite?
Well, we're seeing them, you know, I think over the years, you're seeing them kind of move a little bit further south. You were seeing them in the city, and then they're getting, you know, further down, hitting Washington areas down through there now. So people that commuted were used to seeing them. Well, now they're seeing them at their residence.
Okay. What other insects are a problem right now?
The big one I've probably seen a lot is the hemlock woolly adelgid this year, along with some scale insects, with like the magnolia trees seem to be pretty heavy this year.
So let's talk about the hemlock woolly adelgid. What does it look like, and how do you know if you have it?
So first being able to identify, you know, your evergreen trees, a hemlock was a huge key. Sometimes people will just call them pine trees. You're not typically going to see them on the pines. But the hemlock woolly adelgid, you'll see these little white specks, almost kind of looks like baby powder or so, kind of on a tree in little ways. Most people never really pay attention to it, but if you have a really heavy infestation, you'll clearly identify that there's a problem. And once you identify it, then it's as simple as usually getting the phone call and then coming out, measuring the tree, kind of letting the homeowner know the ways of treatments.
For a small tree, can I just use horticultural oil?
Certainly. And you can do that on a larger tree too, depending on, you know, what your program can kind of consist of and how bad the infestation is. So
yeah, if you do have a bad infestation, what will it do to the tree?
It's usually, I tell homeowners, you know, everybody's calling in a panic. So I let them know that this has probably been a problem for the last couple of years. You just have not seen it. So it hasn't reached what's called like the aesthetic threshold, to where you're not visibly seeing that problem. When you get the phone call, now you're noticing it. So, depending on, you know, again, how heavy the infestation is, we will offer horticultural oils, typically maybe two treatments a year, systemic bark banding or injections that can help. And then you can actually do like foliage sprays with an insecticide. Again, depending on the location of the tree, where it's at, how big it is. There's a few different options you can do. You can also fertilize the tree to just kind of improve the health. You would not want to do that in like a heavy feeding cycle. That'd be more towards like late fall or early spring. The stimulating growth right now is just going to give them another food source to kind of feed on, so you don't necessarily want to do that. But
is there any special time if we're doing horticultural oil that is, or does that matter?
There are some better times. Typically, like I'd probably say like late spring. Now's not a bad time, although you do have to watch with the heat and some of the humidity, because you can actually burn some of that, because that horticultural oil will interfere with transpiration, respiration in the tree, and it can burn if not done, you know, appropriately. But, you know, fall is another good time when they're in the crawler stage to kind of do that too, like early fall, late summer.
What else you seeing out there for insects? Anything else?
Scale's probably been the other one. Soft scale with magnolia trees seem to be pretty heavily this year. You're seeing the sooty mold and everything, the little, you know, the black kind of sticky substance all over either the patio underneath, or some people, that was another problem with the spotted lanternfly too, typically when they're a little bit larger, that sooty mold and things like that you'll see. It's always kind of depending on where the tree's located is where you're getting the calls. If the tree's closer to the patio or the home, it's usually people are noticing that more. If it's in the backyard, way tucked in the back corner, you're never really going to identify that too much unless somebody's really, really paying attention.
Whenever I hear scale, that sounds like something that, when I think of it, that's something tough to deal with.
It's ongoing, and I tell homeowners eradication is probably not the key term I'd want to focus on, but definitely suppressant and getting that, you know, problem improved over the years by a few different ways. Horticulture oils, again, is another one. A lot of people want to try to be as organic as they can. So hort oils are great. Fertilizations are great. Proper pruning to just kind of help open up the canopy, get rid of some of those heavily infested limbs maybe. You know, there's a lot of things you can do without necessarily using insecticides. Obviously, insecticides can get you to the finish line maybe a little faster, and there's some that are better than others. But that's usually where I have that homeowner and, you know, kind of figure out what their objective is, how aggressive they want to be, the situation of the tree, location of the tree, and then we kind of have those topics broke down.
Well, let's talk a little bit about fertilization. How is it done? How do you fertilize like a big tree?
Typically, we do a soil injection. So we offer like a spring, summer, fall fertilization. They're a little bit different. They all are labeled as fertilizers, but typically we're going to come out and throughout the drip edge, which is kind of the canopy, you know, from the trunk all the way out to the furthest limb underneath the tree, is kind of like a mirrored image of your root system that we're trying to target when we're fertilizing. So every, roughly about 3 feet apart, we're injecting half a gallon of fertilizer based on the calibration of the equipment that we're using. And that's going to be there for typically, 6 to 12 months, the slow release fertilizers that we use. So fall is typically your heavier macro micronutrients, your nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, manganese, iron, everything like that. Spring is more of like a biostimulants, humates. Our summer one is a newer thing that we're rolling out to kind of help fight drought stress, things like that, help kind of the tree compartmentalize a little bit more. So we're playing around trying to really enhance, the soil structure around here, try to give it more organic matter. It's, when you can have a homeowner kind of sign up to do everything and, really want to be aggressive, typically you'll really start to see the benefits, especially if you're having another tree on the property that's not having problems and maybe you're watching and comparing, or like the neighbor's tree is not getting, any attention and yours is, you can really kind of see the difference. But
talk a little bit about that, the importance of fertilizing, because that's something I think a lot of homeowners don't think about, fertilizing their trees.
Yeah, it's always why should I fertilize my tree? They don't get fertilized in the forest. They grow just fine. It's a totally different, environment there. The soil disturbance that we have typically, again, if it's that tree near the patio, there's a driveway or a patio or a home or something constantly, around that root zone causing stress. The trees in the woods are getting that natural, fertilizer breaking down through the leaf litter, things like that, undisturbed soil conditions, the symbiotic relationships that they have with the other trees. All of this is lacking in the urban forestry. When you really break it down, people kind of start to understand. But ideally, every foundation, plant health care kind of foundation that you write up for a homeowner should start with fertilization, because you're trying to be proactive with that approach. So if the problem is there, or you're not necessarily seeing a problem and you're telling the homeowner this tree looks great, but that condition may change, so you want to keep it looking great. So fertilization is greatly going to help you do that.
We got a couple minutes before the break, and then we come back, we'll talk about diseases. But tell me a little bit about how you got into this. Why is this job right for you?
So I got into this a long, long time ago. Just kind of grew up on a farm, could juggle some chainsaws and really like to make some, loud noise and see some sawdust fly. And I enjoyed kind of working outside. So from there, I started with Davy Tree and kind of started climbing, running a tree crew, doing, some pruning, everything. And then got into what was called the plant health care, so the insects, disease, things like that, and that's when just the knowledge really exploded. Everything just kind of all started to make sense. You started to put together the big pieces, and I'd go out to homeowners' properties where we had pruned the tree, did all kinds of things, planted trees, and now I'm treating the tree as a technician. So kind of did like a full circle, and that's where I really enjoy kind of doing the plant health care and the full IPM programs, everything like that.
All right, Craig, hang in there for the break. When we come back, we'll talk about diseases. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts like Craig from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, Doug and I and Craig will be back. If you have a tree-related question, give us a call, 866-391-1020. All right, we're back with Doug and Craig Stone, Davy Tree Talking Tree, and we've got Mary Ann. She wants to get in here with a question. Mary Ann, good morning. Welcome to The Organic Gardener.
Good morning. I'm calling to find out when the best time would be to transplant a cutting from a lilac tree or bush.
What do you think, Craig? When should you take a cutting from a lilac? I would say I would be looking for softwood cutting would be the way I'd want to do it. How would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's. I always tell the homeowner to be patient when you're kind of doing things like this, because usually it's success is.
It's not
sometimes difficult.
It's not. It's not easy to take cuttings, Marianne.
No, no. So normally, I would recommend doing as many cuttings as you can, just to increase the probability. But I would say anytime early spring to late fall, if you could, that would probably be the best. But I mean, there's doesn't mean that it wouldn't work now. It just may be a little more hands-on, watering things like that.
At this point, we'd be at hardwood cuttings. Is that right?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, you may be able to get a little bit of newer growth on there, but it's probably going to be mostly hardwood.
Yeah, so Marianne,
that's going to be difficult.
Marianne, there's two different types of cuttings we take with shrubs like this. The softwood is the stuff that comes on early in the season, and it's green, and it's the new growth, and that's usually easier to make that root. Then later, where we're at now, we're going to take the hardwood cuttings. That fresh growth has started to harden off a little bit. When you do take that cutting, you put it into a rooting hormone, and like Craig said, take a lot of cuttings, and then I like to use vermiculite, but everybody uses a different medium, but I use just slightly moistened vermiculite. You stick all those cuttings in that after tipping it in the root tone, and then cover the whole thing with plastic, but keep it out of the sun. You need to keep the humidity up, and then after a couple weeks, just kind of gently tug on those and see if you're getting any resistance. Then it's making roots. What? Why are you making those cuttings? Is it a special tree, or you just want to make more, or what's up?
Well, actually, the cutting is from a friend that was a cutting from my original tree, and she wanted to give me part of it back, mm-hmm. and she's already had it in water, so it's been rooting. Tried this once before, and I just got a tiny little sprig out of it, and it's not doing anything except it's alive. But it's more they're trying to replace, grow a new lilac tree there.
So where is it now? Is it still in water, or is it in soil?
It's in water still.
Okay, so Craig, what does she do? She's got a lilac that has put on roots, and it's in water. What should she just put it into, like a planting mix in a little pot, or what would you do?
I would certainly try that. I mean, depending on if you want to try to throw a little more sand, in mixing some sand in with the soil. But if it's starting to take root and you're seeing those roots develop in the water, I would mm-hmm. try to transition that into the soil for sure.
And the soil you mentioned, vermiculite, would I need that in
not
there?
In this, not in this case. Now that you already have roots on that, just put that in a good planting mix. And like Craig said, some extra drainage that some sand would help too.
Well, sand into what kind of a planting mix?
Go ahead, Craig.
No, I was just going to say, any sort of, Miracle-Grow potting soil, something kind of rich, naturally going to have a little bit of, porous material and obviously some organic material, things like that. And if you wanted to throw some sand in slightly just to kind of help with that drainage, usually that will be what I would do if I'm messing around with some cuttings or clippings or trying to get anything to take root there.
All right, thanks, Marianne. We got a couple minutes left. We didn't get to our diseases, Craig. So what's the number one disease you're looking at right now?
They're kind of wide this year. I'd say the most common one that I've had, unfortunately, I can't really bring a lot of good news, is typically verticillium wilt. That seems to be still pretty much in the area. Typically, certain varieties of trees are a little more common, but that's something that I've had a few discussions with quite a bit with my homeowners this year.
And is that because of what? Cool, wet spring and then this rain, or it just happens?
Typically, from my experience that I'm seeing it with, it's with just older trees. Typically, the Crimson King Norway maples, but then there are some, Japanese maples that I've had discussions with. There's a few red buds that I've had seen, And it's just a disease common in this area, and it does affect some older species.
Can it be treated?
I don't like to necessarily say the word treated. We can do some treatments or applications that can kind of help slow the progression down, but it's not really going to cure or combat the disease. So, you know, the treatments or applications that we would throw at it are to just lessen the severity of that. Hopefully we can kind of get the tree to, you know, push out some new growth with fertilization. And ultimately, I think we end up just delaying the inevitable, but sometimes the homeowners find value in that. So I don't want to say we were ever able to treat or cure that. That's not been the case so far. We're working on it, but right now we're just kind of, you know, holding its hand and trying to lessen the severity of the disease right now.
All right, Craig, great first time on the show. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, have a great day. Stay with us. News at 8, and then we're thinking picnics on the Coons Cooking Hour.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.